listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the original Mother's Nightclub in Chicago. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Rye, the movie guy, and this week on Cinema Jaw, Matt, we cast our vote for the best political movies of all time.
There's going to be intrigue, betrayals, and politicking.
That's what politics is all about right there.
Absolutely.
It is election year, Matt, and we got Super Tuesday here coming up. A lot of debates going on. It got us thinking of doing our best political movies.
It's a big election year, man. It's presidential election
year. Yeah, no doubt about it. And a lot of good political films out there, and we're going to hopefully touch them all with 15 great ones here.
Yeah, when you brought the topic up, I was like, oh, I don't know, this isn't really my genre. But then when I started doing the research, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's tons of really good ones. So
yeah, and to help us out with that list in a little bit, we got a great guest stopping by. Frankie Rodriguez from ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Yep, yeah, he's a great broadcaster here in Chicago, media personality.
Yeah, so. He does a show there, Inside the Squared Circle. We're going to get him on. He has his list of political movies. He's going to be hanging out with us the whole show.
Yep, it's going to be fun.
In addition to that, we have a review of Rampart, which is now in theaters, starring Woody Harrelson. Plus, we're going eye for an eye on The Lorax. We have a cinema war that's going to be taking a look at the new Spider-Man movie.
Yep. And I saw Netflix Instant Gratification, Dark Days.
Nice.
Got a
review
for you.
DVD reviews for you. Plus the return again of Rye's Hidden Gem with Sarah's Key. So we got a jam-packed episode here, Matt.
Yeah.
So we're going to get started right away. We're going to bring in our guest, Frankie Rodriguez of Chicagoland Sports Radio. Welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Gentlemen, thanks for having me. This is fun, man.
Now, you were gracious enough to have Matt on Inside the Squared Circle a couple days ago. Tell us about that.
Well, it all went to hell when he showed up. No, I'm just kidding. He came in with comedian Michael Larimer, and we were talking about Comedy Graw, and I think, you know what? No, I know. I was here, man. It was a great turnout and tons of fun. Congratulations, Matty K.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, occasionally I get something right, so.
And so, before we go any further, explain to the jawheads listening to this a little bit about Inside the Squared Circle, the show that you do on Chicagoland Sports.
It is sports and entertainment. We'll cover anything from politics to pro wrestling to MMA to the entertainment world of Hollywood. I mean, if it's a topic, we'll cover it.
And how long have you been doing that over there?
Man, let's see. I've been doing the show for about 2.5 years now. We just became the morning show February 5th, the day after the Super Bowl, and we air from 7 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time.
And that's on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Correct. Yep. Monday through Friday.
And you can also get old episodes, like you guys put out like a podcast-type archive.
Yeah. It's kind of tricky because the website's going under construction. Our sister station, SportsTownChicago.com, if you go to the show heading to Inside the Squared Circle, we probably have close to 200-300 free downloadable interviews for anybody. And it's a round robin of who's who. You've got professional wrestlers from Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes.
Woo!
Woo, exactly.
Nice, the nature boy.
Did he do it? Did he do the woo?
Oh, he did it all for us.
And, was he in studio or on the phone?
Ric Flair was by the phone, but anytime he comes through Chicago, he's going to stop by the studio. I've known Ric for a number of years now, and he loves the city.
Yeah, how white is that guy's hair?
You know, it is solid white now. Even the bleaching blonde doesn't help him. It's he's losing it, and it's white, and he's still the nature boy, though.
How old is he?
He is 67, still taking bumps in the ring. It's amazing. I just saw him take a superplex from Sting the other night in the ring, and guys who are 20 don't want to take superplexes, and here he is at 67, still doing it. You know, he's the be all end all. That if there was no Ric Flair, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I've emulated and stolen every cliche line from him that you could think of.
I love it. And besides professional wrestlers, you also have some Chicago sports personalities join you.
Absolutely, we've had Willie Gault, a bunch of Bears. The White Sox and Cubs are kind of. They don't want to do it for whatever reason, but we've had Bears and Bulls on, Blackhawks.
Those damn baseball players, man.
I don't get it, really. They you know, they get paid the most, and maybe that's why. They're the biggest babies out of all of them.
Yeah, outside of professional wrestling, which sounds like it's your favorite, what would be your favorite sports here in Chicago? You're a Bears fan?
It is baseball.
Ah, and now the tricky question, because me and Matt split the room here, Sox fan or Cubs fan?
No question, Cubs fan.
Yes!
Born and raised.
Born Wrong and raised. Answer.
103 years of misery, but for me it's only been 39, so I don't know. One of these days.
Yeah, this is the year.
It won't be this
year. This is the year.
Come on.
You gotta believe.
I believe, but I'm a realist and... No, yeah, it's not happening this year.
Well, it is 2012, Frankie. You know, I mean, this could be because I think the Cubs winning the World Series is actually the seventh sign of the apocalypse. So,
I will tell you this, I see Ryan, the movie guy, is a Sox fan.
Yes,
the biggest sporting event in the history of sports will be when the Cubs win the World Series, and it's because they haven't done it in 103 years.
It's going to be absolutely insane. There's going to be riots in Chicago. Yeah.
I mean you saw the reaction the Sox had, not being a Sox fan, mm-hmm. but still, I mean, the outpouring from the city when they won it and the parade going all the way from down on the south side
right.
up through the streets was just absolutely amazing. And I agree, not winning it in 103 years is going to split the city, have a small earthquake.
Oh, my God.
You know what surprised me is where all the Sox fans came from. Like, wait, there wasn't that many of you. You guys didn't sell out every game.
Yeah.
That's another story another day.
I think there's a lot of converts because the Cubs yes. have been sucking so bad recently that the Sox have just been on this meteoric rise.
Well, Ryan, you know your team this year is going to suck too.
Absolutely.
So.
It's the least I'm looking forward to them in a long time. A couple other questions for you, Frankie. Who else do you do the show with? Is it you and a couple of guys each morning on Inside the Squared Circle?
It's actually me and one other guy, my co-host slash producer. He does all the editing. The guy's amazing. His name's Brian Singelman. He puts his heart into it, and he's right now. I mean, we wake up, we get in the studio around 5 in the morning. He trains it in from Downers Grove, so he's up around 3:30 in the morning. And I just got off the phone with him, and he's putting together some montages and editing interviews right now as we speak.
Wow.
So the guy's a trooper, man.
That's awesome. And one last thing we should note is that you also do a television show that streams online as well.
Yeah, eGen TV. It's an acronym for eGeneration, eGen.TV, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, a show called Looped In. That's about to all change, though. March 5th, we're going to live programming. We're going to have 7-8 shows live throughout the day. The goal for eGen is to actually have 24-hour programming 7 days a week, and that's starting on March 5th. And 810 North Clark, man, it's going to be a full bar and grill, and you get to watch entertainment at the same time.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. You're doing something really special there, man. I'm wishing you guys the best.
Frank, we always end our guest interviews with a couple of goofy questions. Better baseball movie, Field of Dreams or The Natural?
Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams, without a doubt. I don't know. I didn't buy the whole breaking of the lights, and I like you build it and they will come.
I'm a Field of Dreams guy myself.
See, I'm a natural guy.
Yeah. Frankie, let's say they're remaking Pretty Woman and you're cast in the Richard Gere character. What actress working today would you want to play Vivian Ward, the Julia Roberts character?
Wow, that's a great question. Damn, she's sort of losing her fastball, but I'm still going to stick with Halle Berry.
I think that's the first time Halle Berry's been mentioned, Matt.
That's absolutely a great choice, and I don't know that she's losing her fastball. I think she's just as pretty as she's ever been.
Yeah.
She looks great, man.
Listen, I'd work a program with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well put.
All right. So Frankie Rodriguez of Inside the Squared Circle is going to be sitting in on the whole episode. And that brings us to Eye for an Eye, Interested or Ignore, a new movie in the theater. And Eye for an Eye is sponsored by
the new 400 Theater.
And what's the best thing about the new 400 Theater, Matt?
My opinion, it is the full liquor bar at the concession stand.
And in my opinion, they got the best prices on first-run theater.
That's also very cool.
Absolutely. You can find out what's playing at the new 400 at www.thenew400.com.
We thank them for their support.
All right. So Eye for an Eye, The Lorax. A 12-year-old boy searches for the one thing that will enable him to win the affection of the girl of his dreams. To find it, he must discover the story of the Lorax, the grumpy yet charming creature who fights to protect his world. Danny DeVito voices the Lorax and is joined by Zac Efron and Taylor Swift. The film is directed by the same people who gave us Despicable Me, which I was a fan of. Matt, interested or ignore on the Lorax?
I'm interested. Going to try to get my kid out to this one, but I'm a little trepidatious because of all the misfires with the Seuss movies, so That's my take on it.
Frankie, interested or ignore on The Lorax?
You know, I really had no interest when I first saw the preview. When I found out the same people that made Despicable Me made this movie with three kids, interested for sure.
Well said. I'll say that. I'm a huge fan of Despicable Me. I have no kids, and I own the movie. But not having kids, I'm in no rush to see The Lorax, so I'm giving this one an ignore.
It's fair. I mean, this is a family movie, right?
Yes.
If you got kids, you're going to go see it, and if not, it's safe to skip it.
Yeah, I hope Danny DeVito does a good job being The Lorax. I think he's got a shot there.
It does look like it's going to be pretty cool visually, so.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, they're looking for trees and stuff. It's something that doesn't exist anymore in their land, so it ought to be interesting. Danny DeVito, he has the fight with the big woman that doesn't look like a woman, so
yeah.
That might be worth it right there.
They're starting to dig deep into the Seuss catalog. I think next they're going to do One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, so, yeah.
They just keep coming. Once they hit an idea, they're going to go through the whole catalog.
Yeah, I thought that was a good joke. It sounded good in my head, but it just didn't come out good.
I thought it was funny.
It was funny? All right.
Yeah, I gave you the courtesy chuckle. It didn't come through on the microphone.
Keep them coming, Matt. Keep
all right.
them coming.
I'll be here all week. Try
all
the
right.
deal.
Still working that comedy.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Comedy Gras. Yeah.
Comedy Gras.
Hilarious. All right. Speaking of new movies, I got out to the theater. I saw Rampart. I got a great review for you. Check out this clip.
No man who ever shoots another man is entirely cogent in the moment.
Did you learn that with the first man you killed?
You're either lying to me or you're withholding. This is what I do.
The only thing that's wrong here is that a camera caught him doing police work.
Woody Harrelson's just a beast in this movie, Matt. He plays a crooked L.A. cop in this film set in 1999. This is truly a great performance by Harrelson, a tour de force, if you will.
Wow.
The story climbs into the character's head, and we see events take place that are skewed by his point of view. He's caught on tape using excessive force, beating down a guy who is running from the scene of a crime. Harrelson's character feels he's did nothing wrong. Meanwhile, the LAPD start up an inquiry to see if he should be suspended or even terminated from his position. Both Robin Wright and Sigourney Weaver pour in some outstanding supporting roles themselves. I found this movie to be dark, gritty, and very well told. If nothing else, you should have to see it for Woody Harrelson's performance. Seek this movie out. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, 3 Jaws, a grade of a B.
That's awesome. Harrelson is really starting to come into his own and be an A-lister, man. Not that he hasn't been in the past, but
He's showing he's got a little bit more range than what we took him for.
Yeah, well, he's come a long way from being Woody on Cheers.
No doubt about it.
He's got a great knack for playing these dark characters in these movies. Natural Born Killers, he was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Zombieland, which I absolutely adored that
one.
That one
was a little lighter, but it was still, I mean, he's great in the comedic
role. He's perfect
role.
In there, sure.
And now this one, I really can't wait to see this. And he's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Go ahead.
White Man Can't Jump. I love that movie.
Nice. So. I thought you were going to say Kingpin.
Oh, Kingpin's another great one.
Fantastic movie. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And he was in No Country for Old Men playing the bounty hunter going after the
People
bounty hunter, which
Larry
was awesome.
He's great in a supporting role, great in a leading role. He's good at comedy, good at drama.
Yeah,
he's
and this
range.
Is just, it's such a dark film. We like to do parents. If Rampart had parents, they would be Bad Lieutenant and Training Day.
Nice.
Wow, okay.
Yeah,
wow.
So we're going dark.
I got to see this.
Yeah. All right, so that is in theaters, Rampart. Didn't have anything to do with politics in the film, but our topic, because we are in an election year, is our top 5 favorite political movies. We all got our lists. I had fun doing some research and really picked out some winners. I got some sort of goofy ones, I think, in my number 5s and 4s, but really come on strong near the number 1s.
I tried to not go with the norm. I tried to dig a little deeper. You know, there's a lot of political movies out there that's just in the title, it's political. So I tried to avoid that.
Yeah, I mean, like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. Which may be on somebody's list.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, so I
might
didn't
be,
want to
might
any
be,
movies.
Might be. All right, Matt, why don't you get us started this week at number 5?
All right, number 5, I have the directorial debut of Mr. Warren Beatty talking about Bullworth.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was his debut.
No, you're right.
As far as directing.
It was not his debut. I take that back. Strike that from the record.
Nice.
But it is definitely written by, produced by, directed by, and starring Warren Beatty. This is actually probably the film, for better or for worse, that broke Halle Berry out. Thank you for that alone. It's about a politician who is kind of depressed, near suicide, so he takes out a contract on his own life. Because if he commits suicide, his family won't get his life insurance policy. And because he knows he's only got a little while left to live, he finally starts being honest. And, of course, he becomes a media darling overnight. Mm-hmm. And then he starts rapping. The movie's really freaking weird. But I love it. I don't know why. I like this movie a lot.
Nice pick getting us started at number five with Bulworth. I like it. Swings us over to Frankie's number five.
Actually, with the 1998 release, Enemy of the State, director Tony Scott, writer David Marconi, starring Will Smith, Gene Hackman, John Voight, Tom Sizemore. It's about a lawyer who becomes a target by a corrupt politician and his NSA goons when he accidentally receives key evidence to a serious politically motivated crime. That movie scares the hell out of me, if you want to know the truth.
Sure does. It's actually, I think, one of Will Smith's more underrated films, mm-hmm. too.
This is probably the movie that first showed us that Will Smith was not just a hack.
Right,
you know,
yes.
That he could actually act. And I remember, actually, speaking of hacks, really enjoying Gene Hackman's mm-hmm. performance in this movie.
Yeah,
so
I love the
Hackman.
He's
not a hack.
Yes.
Absolutely, no. Gene Hackman, awesome.
Nice pick. Swings us over to my number five. And this is sort of a shocker, because this film came out in 2006 and is directed by the great Emilio Estevez. I'm speaking of the film Bobby. Did you guys catch this
one? No, not at all.
I'm not familiar with this.
This is a huge ensemble cast. This guy, Emilio Estevez, worked on this movie forever because it is about Bobby Kennedy, and this was like his idol, so he really took on this film. This cast includes Anthony Hopkins, Helen Hunt, William H. Macy, Sharon Stone, Demi Moore, Elijah Wood, and others. And it's really...
What year?
Came out in 2006.
And how did I miss this?
Oh, I missed it too, dude.
It was a smaller movie. It was one of those that came out at the end of the year, went for the Oscar push, just didn't get it. It just sort of fizzled out.
Interesting.
But it really, what it does is it shows you all the lives of all these people and what they were affected on going on at that time when Bobby Kennedy was running for office and the hope that they all had behind him. And it puts in clips of Bobby Kennedy making great speeches at the time, and it all culminates at the hotel where he was assassinated, the Ambassador Hotel in California, and all the parties eventually get there to see his speech, and he gets assassinated, and Simon and Garfunkel's playing at the end. It's such a beautiful ending of the
moment.
Who
played Jack Ruby?
He doesn't even show up, and Jack Ruby was the one who shot him. That was...
Who am I thinking of?
Jack Ruby shot Oswald.
That's right.
Yeah,
okay, Jesus.
This is,
I knew he shot someone. That
yeah, this
had
was in the kitchen
Kennedy's.
After his speech. This guy shoots him, and it's just a fantastic movie. If you get a chance, check out Bobby, my number five.
I love it.
Man, I am terrible at history.
Swings us over to our fours, Mr. Jack Ruby. What do you got, Matt?
All right, at number four, I have Fahrenheit 9/11. If you want to talk about politics, this is. A polarizing movie, I guess. You either love it or you hate it. You either think that Michael Moore is telling the truth or you think that it's outright fabrication. I'm not going to say where my opinion lies, but I'm sure if you listen to the show, you probably know that I think that it's a absolute truthful movie, and he's absolutely right. So I guess I will say. It debuted at the Cannes Film Festival in 2004. Huge hit, great reception. I mean, everybody's knows this movie, I think.
Yeah, this was definitely Michael Moore sort of really went out on a ledge and went pretty hardcore there. And it was interesting to see. I don't think he really laid off the gas pedal in that movie. He really went for it. And I liked it also. I don't like to necessarily always just believe a filmmaker because it's very easy to just sit there and be in that guy's world for 2 hours and come out believing everything you saw.
Sure.
But
you got to take it with a grain of salt, right?
Like I say, it's great. Michael Moore does a great thing because at least gets us talking about the topics.
Again, mixed feelings about Michael Moore. Another guy, Oliver Stone, got mixed feelings about both those guys. I think they take a truth and they stretch and fabricate it, and it's not a complete truth. It's not a complete lie, but a lot of people like to take it at its face value because that's how he presents it.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's a spin doctor. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, good pick, Matt. Good pick. Swings us over to Frankie's number four.
Well, number four, 1995 release, nominated for 3 Oscars. The movie is Crimson Tide. Director Tony Scott, writer is Michael Schiffer, again, starring Gene Hackman, Denzel Washington, and Matt Craven, and Also, a very young Tony Soprano. What's his real name? Gandolfini.
Yeah, James Gandolfini.
In that movie too. It's about a U.S. nuclear missile sub. A young first officer, which was played by Denzel Washington, stages a mutiny to prevent his trigger-happy captain from launching his missiles before confirming his orders to do so, thus preventing a nuclear war.
I love that movie. That's freaking scary, man.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah.
He's ready to launch it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And what we've learned so far is that Frankie loves Gene Hackman.
Yeah, you know, and it was completely coincidence. When I looked at it, I go, oh, damn.
Okay. He's in both of them.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, I think he did a lot of those, like, darker political things.
He did.
What was that one where the airplanes crash and he's talking to him on the radio? It's like Bat something. I'll look it up.
Look that one up.
Yeah.
All right. Swing this over to my number four. And at number four, I have a movie that came out in 2000. Stars the dude, Jeff Bridges. I'm talking about The Contender.
Nice.
Not sure a lot of people have seen this one. This was Jeff Bridges, the dude, as I said, Joan Allen, and Gary Oldman, who I love. Concerns when the vice president dies, the president, who's played by Jeff Bridges, goes on to select a female senator, played by Joan Allen, to fill the position. What unfolds is the ugly side of politics, as her opponents do anything to stop her. Eventually, some attacks come out on her personal life, including what may be some stories of sexual deviance that get spread around. Who's telling the truth, and should Allen's character stoop down to their level and have to fight back, is really what it's all about. Really excellent film, both politically thrilling. Loved it.
Love that movie. When that movie came out, I was thinking of our current president, Bill Clinton.
At the time?
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, and then he had to come out. I did indeed have sexual relations with that woman. That reminded me of this movie. I don't know if that movie was based on that incident. I'm not sure of the timeline, but you talking about it right now, I'm like, Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good one. If you haven't seen it, Jawheads, The Contender, my number four, swings us into our threes.
All right. So now we bring out the heavy hitters, right?
Yep.
Ah, yeah.
This was a mockumentary, a satire, if you
will. Oh, boy.
Or a satirical mockumentary. Came out in 92, directed by Tim Robbins, also starring Tim Robbins, Bob Roberts. Also, a very early appearance from Jack Black in this film.
Wow, I have not seen this movie.
Oh, you haven't seen Bob Roberts? It's really cool. Like I said, it's sort of shot in documentary style. It's a mockumentary. It's about this folk singer who is a candidate for the Senate in, I think he's in Pennsylvania. And, Pennsylvania. And just all the dirty tricks he plays, the dirty political tricks he plays to get to the top, and all the people he steps on along the way. But he always just comes out looking squeaky clean. And this is actually based on a character he did on Saturday Night Live. It's funny, dark funny. Really a great movie, dude. You got to check this one out.
Nice. That's your Q-tip to me for the show right here.
Yes.
There you go. Also, Jack Black, young Jack Black, was in Enemy of the State as well.
Wow.
Number five.
You know, I was just looking through Jack Black's filmography because, you know, I remember him in Bob Roberts, and he was in just a ton of movies before he broke.
The Jackal with Bruce Willis he was in.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of
He was the shooting target. That was hilarious.
We should do an in-depth on Jack Black, right?
We should. Swings us over to Frankie's number three.
Number three, also a 1992 release. Director Rob Reiner. I'm talking about A Few Good Men. The writer was Aaron Sorkin. The star, Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson, Demi Moore. Nominated for 4 Oscars. For those of you that don't know the line, you can't handle the truth, where have you been living? It's about a neo-military lawyer, Caffey, who defends Marines who were accused of murder. They contend that they were acting under orders. I adore this movie. I think this movie is brilliant.
Yeah, as do I. And you know what? I have a habit of having too many drinks on a Friday or Saturday night and going home and watching clips of movies. It's one of my favorite things to do. And I can't tell you how many times I pull out A Few Good Men and watch the Jack Nicholson scene with Tom Cruise.
You want the truth?
I love it. I could just watch it and watch it. Just put on that scene and it's so great.
That scene is epic.
It is.
It really is how it portrayed, and Tom Cruise flipped him to snap and tell the truth. And
right, and he's facing court-martial, you know.
And then he snaps on this tangent about the, you know, lying next to the Cubans or whomever. I mean, it's
so
epic.
Great.
Yeah. I sleep 100 yards from men with guns.
And first Tom Cruise comes to him talking about how Caffey hadn't packed anything.
Right.
Like, you said he was going to leave, and he didn't pack anything. And he's like, is that all you got? You know? Maybe he was a light packer. I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
It's great.
It's a great movie. And Nicholson, I would say, is the star of that movie, and he's not even in the whole movie. He's not in the majority of it.
You know who puts in a good performance in this movie? Not to spend too much time on it, but Kevin Pollak.
Yes, he does.
Pollak. I thought you were going to go Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, he's good also in that.
So easy to overlook Kevin Pollak when you got those huge heavy hitters, Cruise, Demi Moore, and Jack Nicholson. But I thought, Kevin Pollak was great in this one, man.
Yeah,
I agree.
Even Kiefer Sutherland is in the film.
Oh,
yeah. Supporting
Kevin
great
Bacon,
ones.
Too.
Yeah, it's great.
Dude, what a cast.
Jeez. Great pick, Frankie. And you mentioned, I believe, that it was written by Aaron Sorkin.
Yes.
And that's interesting because my number three, also written by Aaron Sorkin, came out in 2007, starring Tommy Hanks. I'm speaking of Charlie Wilson's War.
Still haven't seen this.
Oh, Tom Hanks, Julia Roberts, and your buddy Philip Seymour Hoffman, written by Aaron Sorkin, like I said. The story of Charlie Wilson, who started a covert dealings in Afghanistan to help them fight back against the Russians at the time. However, all actions cause a reaction, and because the U.S. did not follow through with the plans, we see the Taliban sort of come into their own from all of his weapons that he ended up supplying. And it ends, I think, with one of the best endings. It just puts up a quote from Charlie Wilson that goes a little something like this. These things happen. They were glorious and changed the world. And then we fucked up the end game. And it's just really poignant, you know? It's like we went in to try to help Afghanistan.
Yep.
And in the long run, it came
they
back and hurt us.
Dropped the ball. Yeah.
Before we move on, how long before we see an Osama bin Laden movie about our Marine guys going in there and wiping his ass out?
Yeah, no, it's actually already in the works. And,
really?
Yeah. And
that's kind of in poor taste,
it's being directed.
Don't you think?
It's being directed. No, I agree. It's being directed by Catherine Bigelow, who did The Hurt Locker.
It's
going to be really good.
I guess in the hands of a good director.
Yeah.
Cool.
So my number three, Charlie Wilson's War, swings us into our twos, Matt.
Again, here come the big guns. Back in 2008, the great Sean Penn won the Best Actor Award from the Academy for his performance in the film Milk. And, of course, he was the title character, Harvey Milk, who was the first openly gay politician to be elected to public office. And obviously he was a gay rights activist and just a brave guy. I mean, I think you look at pictures of Harvey Milk, and then you look at Sean Penn in this film, and he really became Harvey Milk, and he got the mannerisms down and stuff like that. I wasn't aware of the story before I saw the movie.
Nor I.
Yeah, and it's really, it's sad. I mean, obviously, it's a historical movie, so I'm not spoiling anything to tell you that Harvey Milk was assassinated at the end of the film, and it just... They got you to care about him so much, and it's a testament to Sean's performance.
And I love that scene where he is recording his sort of like his memoirs because he thinks something may happen to himself.
Yeah.
And at one point, he's like, "You got to give him hope." To all the other people out there that are homosexual and looked down upon, like, you got to give them hope. And he was doing this for them. And great performance by Sean Penn. Great movie, Matt.
Yeah, it's a really, really great movie.
Yeah. Swings us over to Frankie's number two.
Number two, it's a 2008 release. Director is Bryan Singer. I'm talking about Valkyrie.
Nice.
The writers are Christopher McQuarrie and Nathan Alexander, starring Tom Cruise, Bill Nighy, and Carice Van Houten. It's actually based on, you know, actual events, a plot to assassinate Hitler. Gets messed up, and it's during the height of World War II. Absolutely think, from what I've read in the storybooks, they're pretty accurate in the movie, which is very important when you're telling history movies. Get it as accurate as possible.
Yeah.
You know, I love this movie. I think, honestly, the weakest part of the movie, and it's Tom Cruise. I just didn't buy him as the German Nazi character because he played it straight with no accent and stuff, and it just didn't feel right to me. But I like the movie. If that makes sense.
Sure.
I agree. And he was, like, serviceable. It wasn't like he brought the movie down. I agree with you, Matt. But I think with a little bit better of an actor or not
just
such
a different
a known face like Tom Cruise, it might even worked better. Yeah. Yeah. Good pick, though. I like Valkyrie as well.
It's underrated, actually.
Yeah, swings us over to my number two, and I go way back to 1976 to pull out my number two.
Wow.
I am speaking of All the President's Men. It only stars Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. It's written by Bernstein and Woodward, the two guys at the Washington Post who broke open the Watergate scandal. And we see the actual events that lead to the breaking of Watergate. It also gets us into the tense situation the Washington Post found themselves in as they were going after President Nixon. I mean, it seems like now I think we live in a society that we expect the media to be sort of watchdogs over all our politicians and such. But at that time, it was even more risky for the Post to sort of go in and believe this deep throat character and really break the Watergate scandal open like they did. Just a fantastic movie if you haven't seen it.
You know what? I've seen it, but it's been so long. I think I was a kid, so I got to rewatch this one.
Yeah, it has been... Wow, I would say I was probably 10, which was a long time ago when I saw that movie.
I've only seen it twice, probably, you know, once when I was a kid and once a few years ago. And I was like, oh, what a fantastic, fantastic movie. Put it on the queue, Jawheads.
As an adult.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movies we've probably have all watched as kids. If you revisit it as an adult, it's 10 times better.
It is, yep.
You know, I was walking down Michigan Avenue today, and I realized I have not seen Ferris Bueller since I moved to Chicago.
Wow.
That's a travesty.
Yeah, that's a must, Matt.
I know. I got to go watch it again.
It's physically impossible for anyone that lives in the city to do what he does in one day.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to spoil it for anybody.
Yeah. All right, here we go, man. Our number ones, Matt. What do we got?
All right. You know, I really wrestled with what to put at number one because there's a lot of great political films out there. But when you're talking about politics, it's really difficult to avoid elections. And so I went with the 1999 film Election. Speaking of Ferris Bueller.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
You got Matthew Broderick in here, young Reese Witherspoon, Chris Klein. It's a great movie. It's a series of misfortunes that happen to this poor schlub of a teacher, all centered around a student body election. And the character that Reese Witherspoon plays is just absolutely ruthless in her desire to be the class president. And man, what a great movie. It talk about politics. You really see... The dark side of politics in this film. So,
yeah, I don't know if there's a positive side to politics. You know, as I've gotten to interview many of these politicians for the radio show, what they'll say off the air is completely different than what they'll say on the air. And dude, it is dark. And anytime I see movies like that portray the darkness, they're more close to being right on than not. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, Matt. Election, what a great film. I need to see it again. It's been a few years, and I loved it when I saw it, and I always want to go back and watch it again.
I think it's worth it, man.
Nice. Good pick.
Do it for Ferris.
Swings us over to Frankie's number one.
Again, I tussled with my number one as well. There's two or three movies left on my list that I did research on that I wanted to throw on here, but we can only go five.
We'll do some honorables. Don't worry.
We'll do some honorables? Okay. Well, I decided to go... with a 2000 release with director George Tillman Jr., Men of Honor, written by Scott Marshall Smith. It's a true story of Carl Brashear, the first African-American, then also the very first amputee U.S. Navy diver, and the man who trained him, Master Chief Billy Sunday. I think Cuba Gooding Jr. Robert De Niro do a fantastic job of bouncing off of one another.
Yeah, and you know what? This was before Cuba Gooding Jr. just went to absolute crap.
Yes.
You know, now he just... I don't know what happened because this was another movie that he was so strong in. This was really excellent.
It's before Snow Dogs and what was the gay boat trip movie that
he
did?
I think it's just called Boat Trip.
I think it is Boat
Trip.
Yeah,
I think it is.
Yeah, great pick. I forgot about that movie.
You know, and the fact that it's based on a true story and it's someone of color breaking a racial barrier... and then becoming an amputee and breaking that barrier. I love that movie. I think it's awesome.
Good pick. Good pick. Yeah. So this over to my number one, and we were just talking about how all politics, it's dark side, and that's what you really see in the movies. And that's why I veered for my number one to go with more of the positive. And I did go with Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Oh, man. I pulled your number one just right out of the air.
Unbelievable.
Sorry about that.
Came out in 1939. Think about how old that is. Same year as Wizard of Oz. James Stewart was directed by Frank Capra. Mr. Smith gets picked to the Senate seat in Washington by the governor because the senator had died. And what's interesting is I watched this movie a second time just after the Blago scandal hit. And it was interesting how Blago was the governor and he gets to pick anybody who he wants to be a senator. And, you know, that whole thing that he was selling Barack Obama's seat.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. The beginning was just so much like he wanted to pick somebody that would go along with his policies and bills that he had passed. He ends up picking this naive guy, Mr. Smith, to be governor, who he thinks he'll be able to manipulate. However, when Mr. Smith, James Stewart, tries to pass a bill to help his Boy Scouts out, it interferes with the governor's waterworks plan, and it all comes down to the end where he's just sick with it, and he decides to do a filibuster on the floor of the Senate and just talk as long as he possibly can to exhaustion so that they can't pass the bill, and eventually actually gets the governor to start feeling guilty. I believe the governor then shoots himself at the end, and you really see that the good side of politics wins. And
yeah, but
and,
there's still a suicide in it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, at least the bad guy killed himself. But I'll tell you this. All elected officials should have to watch this movie before going on to Washington because it really inspires you in the beginning why they're all going to Washington in the first place.
Oh, boy, yeah.
It's the great Jimmy Stewart, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
it's a great movie. Came out the same year as The Wizard of Oz, also Casablanca?
Or Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind.
Yes.
There you go.
Yep.
That's it. Who won the Oscar that
right.
year.
Yeah. Great, great year for movies.
Yeah, obviously.
Couple of honorables really quick. One that just came out on DVD that came out 2011, Ides of March.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a spin. Really good political thriller.
I got some honorables. I'll just list them. Thank You for Smoking, V for Vendetta, Malcolm X, You Said Mr. Smith. What about Dr. Strangelove?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So that's you can't fight in here. Gentlemen, this is the War Room.
One of the best lines.
Yeah. Matthew Broderick's War Games in 1983 release. Inglourious Basterds.
Very nice.
And a movie that absolutely went under the radar, Defiance, a 2008 release.
Yes,
by
with
Edward
Daniel Craig.
Drake. Yes, about two Jewish brothers, you know, in non-occupied Eastern Europe. Nazi-occupied, I'm sorry.
And I didn't like it as much as it sounds like Frankie, but...
I absolutely adore it. It's based on a true story.
It is.
And anyone that could live in the woods like that and protect 1,000 people that are not soldiers, kudos and credit.
No, I think the credit deserves to go to those guys, but going around and starting your own little village in the woods just doesn't make for a good movie. I don't know.
know? Well, they were trying to survive.
I know, but I was bored watching them make a campfire and whatever. All right, who cares? I know you're in the woods.
They had no food. They had to steal from the Nazis.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, this was a
Ryan's
good list.
He's hard to impress.
That's all
right. Good list. Good list. Those were our political movies, our top five. But if you got Twitter pulled up and you think we missed one, shoot us a tweet at CinemaJaw. Let us know what political movie we missed. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got a Cinema War topic on The Amazing Spider-Man plus Frankie versus Matt in Matthew Broderick movie trivia.
Oh, nice.
We'll be right back on CinemaJaw.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay, and this is your CinemaJaw movie fact. In Oliver Stone's Nixon, Anthony Hopkins' casting as Richard Nixon was initially met with much criticism. Early in the shoot, Paul Sorvino had lunch with Hopkins and offered suggestions as to how Hopkins should replicate Nixon's accent. This made Anthony so nervous, he actually quit the production, though Oliver Stone begged him to stay on. Upon the film's release, Hopkins' performance garnered much praise and even an Oscar nomination. And that is your CinemaJaw movie fact.
And we are back on CinemaJaw hanging out with Frankie Rodriguez of Inside the Squared Circle, which can be found at ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. All right, Matt, before we get to a couple DVD reviews and also trivia, we got a topic we call
Cinema War.
And Cinema War is sponsored by MoviePass.
Yeah, you know the best thing about MoviePass, Rye?
Tell me.
You can go to unlimited movies in the theater for one low monthly cost. That's awesome.
That is awesome. And you know what's even better, Matt?
What?
For the Jawheads listening to this, if you want to sign up for one of their plans, if you enter the promo code CinemaJaw, you save $15 on it.
That is freaking awesome.
Where can they find it, Matt?
Just go to CinemaJaw.com and click on our banner ad on the left, right-hand side, sorry, and it'll take you right to the MoviePass.com site.
And we thank them for their sponsorship.
Yes.
Of CinemaJaw.
Thank you, guys.
So this movie, Cinema War, Matt, really came to because of this Amazing Spider-Man trailer. So let's get right to it. Reno, tell the Jawheads at home what tonight's Cinema War topic is.
Tonight's Cinema War topic With the Amazing Spider-Man trailer out, are you excited or do you feel it's too soon? Matt, you're fighting for excited. Rye, you're fighting for too soon. Let the cinema war begin.
Matt, Frankie, can you say too soon? I mean, the first Spider-Man is not even available on Netflix Instant yet. Seriously, it's only been 5 years since Spider-Man 3 came out. How can I be excited for a reboot of a series that has just ended?
Holy crap, it's been 5 years already? Too soon? Too soon? First of all, it's never too soon for another Spider-Man movie. Furthermore, it's not too soon to do something better than the first three entries, especially number three.
All right, Matt. It's not like the original Spider-Man series was a failure. In fact, the first two Spider-Men were some of the best superhero movies of all time. Leave it alone for a little while. Think of something new.
I don't know. Let's do the list here. You got Gwen Stacy, Captain Stacy. That's not going to end well. The Lizard, finally. Mechanical web shooters. A better Peter Parker. Do I even need to go on?
Yeah, you do need to go on, because that didn't sell me at all. I'll tell you this too, Matt. Darker does not mean better. I don't need Spider-Man, of all superheroes, to have a darker theme. Plus, I do not want to see his origin told all over again. Did that, done that.
Yeah, but they did it wrong.
No,
now
they're
going to do it right. Yeah, Spider-Man doesn't shoot webs out of his wrist like it's some sort of like body fluid. Yeah, the first three films were good, but they took some massive liberties with the character that need to be cleaned up. And, you know, I mentioned the web shooters and the entire third movie. Just what? What?
All right, I end it with this, Matt. Give me Tobey Maguire over this Andrew Garfield any day of the week and twice on Sundays. Kristen Dunst over Emma Stone is an easy pick. And director-wise, I'll take Sam Raimi over Mark Webb with my eyes closed. This new Spider-Man is coming at us too soon. We are just not excited to be captured in his web again, at least not yet.
Any red-blooded American, especially males, are very excited for this movie. Look, it's freaking Spider-Man. This is going to be the film of the summer next to Avengers. Marvel is taking the character of Peter Parker back and doing him right. Too soon? Hell no. It can't come soon enough.
Wow. We are arm wrestling, and we are just stuck right at the top. Nobody can budge here.
I'm going to shoot a web ball right in your eyes, though.
So we throw it over to our guest, Frankie Rodriguez. You got to play judge and jury and tell the jawheads at home who you thought won this cinema war.
Wow. Well, both of you had some very valid points, but a lot of people said the same thing about the Batman series, how it was too soon. Darker doesn't mean better. Well, I got to tell you, Rye the movie guy, wrong answer. Spider-Man, definitely bring it. I can't wait.
Wow.
Excited, stoked.
Sounds like Matt won the cinema war then.
Yes.
Based on the arguments, not just the fact that you
yeah,
love Spider-Man.
Yeah, no, based on the arguments, completely.
Nice.
Well done, Matt. I knew I was in trouble when at break, Frankie told me that he went to New York, flew there to see the Spider-Man Broadway production.
Oh, how was it?
It got canceled.
Oh, my God.
They had a broken web that day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, wasn't hilarious. Very happy about it. I had to see The Lion King again.
Hey, a couple DVD reviews before we get to Matthew Broderick movie trivia. I caught The Interrupters. We had David J. Fowey from KeepingItReal.com here on the show, and he said this was his best film of 2011. I had a chance to catch this documentary with director Steve James in attendance. This is one of the most powerful films I have seen in a few years. Shot right here on the streets of Chicago, we are introduced to three violent interrupters from the group Ceasefire. These are people who have a troubled youth themselves, all of them either involved in gangs, drugs, or violence. Now rehabilitated, they go back into the communities like Inglewood and such, risking their lives to help people see that the violence has to stop. This movie is now streaming on Netflix Instant and is out on DVD. Please, everyone, give this one a spin. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, 4 Jaws, a grade of an A.
Wow.
I loved it. And we love Steve James. He did Hoop Dreams. Mm-hmm. Definitely make sure you check this one out.
This one kind of flew under a lot of radars, man.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to check it
out. And then you caught something.
Yeah, I did. This is a documentary I was first turned on to by our good friend Charles Klein. It's called Dark Days. It's directed by Mark Singer. It's about these a group of homeless people that live underground in an abandoned subway tunnel in New York City called the Freedom Tunnel. And just their lives, what brought them to this place, and how they are living underground in this tunnel. There's obviously there's no power down there, so they had to like route power in, and just their ingenuity and you know, like running water. They don't have running water, so they break a pipe, stuff like that, like how they get by. And it's incredibly fascinating film, kind of sad, but also actually at the same time a little hopeful, just to see how, you know, people survive even in the harshest conditions. They adapt.
How many Jaws?
I'd give this one a solid 3 Jaws. Check it out. It's on Netflix Instant. Dark Days.
Perfect. And one more for you. Arise, Hidden Gem. Jen had saw this one online on a couple people's lists. We put it on the queue, gave it a spin. It's called Sarah's Key. The highly underrated Kristen Scott Thomas stars in this dark drama. She plays a present-day reporter who is writing an article on one of France's darkest days. In 1942, French officials rounded up over 10,000 Jews and placed them in camps, eventually sending 8,000 of them to German concentration camps. We flash back to that day and meet a young girl named Sarah who hides her brother away so we will not be captured. Sarah herself escapes the camps and makes her way back to Paris to find her brother. The story jumps back and forth from 1942 to the present day. All the pieces of the two story start to come together. This is a sad, compelling movie, one that is extremely, extremely well done. Do not miss this Rise Hidden Gem. Rye the Movie Guy's grade, 3.5 Jaws, a grade of a B+.
What was the title again?
Sarah's Key.
Okay.
Hmm.
Is that one on Netflix, or?
I would believe it is. It came out in 2010, so it's been out on DVD for a little while.
Cool.
Flew very low under the radar.
I didn't know. See, you learn stuff on Cinema Jaw, like right now. I didn't know Mark Singer was still doing anything in Hollywood. Last time I heard about him, he was in the 80s show V.
Yeah, I mean, he's I don't know. I'm looking here if it's the same guy.
It has to be.
He's British, right?
No.
Yeah, this is a different Mark Singer.
Oh, then he's not doing anything.
Right.
Sorry, Mark.
This Mark Singer is the English documentarian filmmaker.
Ah.
Not that guy.
Hey, it all makes sense now, Frankie.
Yes. He could go back into obscurity.
And it's funny, we talked so much about Matthew Broderick, either in Ferris Bueller or Election, and because of the movie Tower Heist, now out on DVD, mm-hmm. which stars Ben Stiller, Eddie Murphy, and Matthew Broderick, we have Matthew Broderick movie trivia.
All right.
All right, bring it.
Matt Kay is 1-3 on the year. 1 win, 3 losses.
Oh, boy.
Now, you're our guest, Frankie. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go. There are steals, and if you get stuck on one, our producer, Reno, will help you out with a clue. You just got to yell, "Rescue me, Reno."
All right. Well, this is home field advantage, so go ahead, Matt. You're first.
Ooh, he goes over to Matt. Matt Kay, question number one in Matthew Broderick movie trivia.
Ferris Bueller.
Broderick stars as an army recruit in which Christopher Walken plays his sergeant in this 1988 comedy.
Oh, jeez.
Matthew Broderick stars as an army recruit in which Christopher Walken plays his sergeant in this 1988 comedy.
I don't know. I'm going to save my lifeline. You got this one, Frankie?
Frankie, you do have a chance for a steal. Christopher Walken, Matthew Broderick.
Damn it. I know. I know. When I hear the titles, I'm going to shoot myself.
You do have a lifeline if you want to use it early.
No, it's... Can I guess? Do I get...
Yeah, go ahead and guess.
Go ahead.
What the heck? Let it out.
It's the Biloxi Blues?
Oh!
Oh, he pulled that out. It was Biloxi Blues. Biloxi Blues. He nailed it. 1-0, Frankie. Fantastic.
All right.
Question number 2 over to Frankie. Broderick played Colonel Robert Shaw in a movie that also starred Morgan Freeman and Denzel Washington.
Oh, boy.
We have Matthew Broderick, Morgan Freeman, and Denzel Washington. You do have a lifeline.
I'm trying to just think of a movie they did together.
He's thinking.
Now, if I guess... It's the wrong answer.
So then
you don't
Mac
lose
gets
a point,
chance.
Right?
You don't lose a point. Then Mac gets a chance. Here. But there's only 8 questions, so you might want to use your lifeline here. Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman, and Matthew Broderick.
I don't have a guess.
Matt, you got a chance for a steal.
Glory.
Damn it.
Wow.
As soon as you said it.
Is that what you were going to guess?
No, no, no. It, when you said it, I was like, oh, that's it.
It's painful.
1-1. 1-1. We swing it back over to Matt. Matthew Broderick starred in The Producers opposite this actor, both of which starred in the show while it was on Broadway.
Oh, man, the fat guy. Rescue Me, Reno.
Rescue Me, Reno. Question 3. Matthew Broderick starred in The Producers opposite this actor.
And your clue is the Beatles song, Penny.
And the
Penny Lane. I mean,
all right. That's your clue.
It's Christopher Lane.
Got a chance for a steal. It's something Lane. What do we got here? Frankie?
Oh, boy. You know, I really don't know.
You can take a guess. Anything.
I'm going to say Memory Lane.
So close. Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane. I can see the guy's face in my head. I just can't remember his freaking name.
Still 1-1. We throw this one over to Frankie. In War Games, Matthew Broderick is a computer whiz. Who plays his girlfriend in the movie?
Ally Sheedy.
Oh, he gets the War Games question.
2-1, Frankie. We throw it over to Matt.
This better be the Ferris Bueller question.
In the movie The Freshman, Broderick stars opposite this screen legend.
Marlon Brando, the godfather himself.
Yeah.
2-2. Whoa, what a ball game. Back over to Frankie. Broderick starred as Dr. Nico Tatopoulos in this movie that had the tagline, "Size does matter." You do have a lifeline.
Oh, boy.
Size does matter. Yeah,
rescue Me.
Rescue
Reno.
Me, Reno. Here we go. Question number 6. He starred as Dr. Nico in what movie?
And your clue is not King Kong.
Not King Kong, as far as big
it's
monsters.
Godzilla?
Oh! The clue helped him. 3-2. 3-2. We throw it over to Matt. Question number 7. How many times was Ferris Bueller sick from school?
Yes, I got the 9 times.
Ties it up at 3. Last question of the game. Last question of the game. You can win it straight out.
It's the last
out.
One.
Here it is.
Okay.
Win it right here, Frankie. In the movie Deck the Halls, Matthew Broderick fights with his neighbor, played by what actor?
Sorry, dude. Danny DeVito.
Nice.
We got a winner.
Well done,
Frankie. Boy, oh boy. What was the clue? Just in case someone needed help on that last one, Reno, what was the clue for Danny DeVito?
And that last clue would have been, this actor is shorter than Rye the Movie Guy.
Is that true?
Questionable. I have never met the man, but I believe it to be.
Danny DeVito is 4'11".
Yes, it's true then.
Nice.
All right. Hey, we did have a jawbreaker in case there was a tie. Over to Frankie. Which is worse for Matthew Broderick, the Stepford Wives or Sarah Jessica Parker?
Oh, she looks like a foot, so I'm going to say Sarah Jessica Parker.
That's correct.
Gotta agree with you.
Jesus.
I hate her.
I can't stand her. I actually like Stepford Wives.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know many people that can.
The real jawbreaker was age of Matthew Broderick, closest to. What do you got, Matt?
Oh, well, he's over 40 now. He's probably pushing 50, I would say 49 years old.
That means ringer. He nailed it. He's 49. No guess
there
needed
go.
There.
There you
but
go.
It doesn't matter because Frankie whooped you again, Matt.
Well, I wanted to know what he would have guessed.
I was going to say 53. But it doesn't matter. I won.
Yes. That's true. You did
That's
win.
All that really matters. Hey, really quick, one Hollywood headline each, and then we'll be done. What do you got, Matt?
I'll read the short one. Director Edgar Wright has just signed on to helm the Night Stalker remake, in which Johnny Depp will star as the famed investigative reporter of the supernatural, Carl Kocek.
Sounds interesting.
Actually, I'm really excited.
Have you seen the original?
No, but I know Jim Terry's always talking about the Night Stalker. And
I have not seen it either. And Jim Terry tells me to see it as well.
Yeah, so.
All right, how about this one? The Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Science has acquired the ruby slippers worn by Judy Garland in The Wizard of Oz.
Holy
perhaps
crap.
The most iconic pair of pumps to grace the silver screen, thanks largely in part to Leonardo DiCaprio. DiCaprio led a group of angel donors, including Steven Spielberg, to make sure they went to the right place.
Wow.
So wait, who has them now?
Now the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Science.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, that's in the right place then.
Yeah, what size do you think those slippers are?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably about a size 6.5.
What, you thinking about buying them?
I'd say,
for Danny DeVito, of course.
You'd look good in them.
7.
You'd look good, Rye.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll tell a quick story. I was walking down Michigan Avenue at Christmas time, looking in the windows, you know? And they had over at Marshall Fields the bunny costume from A Christmas Story. The bunny costume
that's
from
awesome.
Christmas. It was so cool to see that, man. I mean, that's like when you see a piece of movie history like that, you just have to stop and look and be like, wow.
I can't remember the kid's name in that movie.
Ralphie?
Ralphie. What's his real name? Anyone know? Anyway, he stopped by in studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look at
Peter Billingsley.
That's it. And you know what? He off the air resents that's what he's remembered for.
Really?
On the air, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to him.
It sounds like a lot of the politicians that you have on.
Oh, dude.
Two different stories.
if people can hear the things that are said off the air, that's where the gold really is.
Yeah, but he gets them out of it, and that's why I want to remind the Jawheads to listen to Frankie Rodriguez inside the Squared Circle on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
And, Frankie, you have a Twitter handle you want to mention or something?
Yes, at Frankie Gez, IEGUEZ, Frankie Gez. Find EGen TV on at EGen TV on Twitter as well. And then you can find us at the website, ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Facebook, we're inside the Squared Circle. I mean, we're everywhere. If you can't find us, you're not looking.
We want to thank you for coming on, Frankie. This was excellent.
No, dude, thanks for having me, man. It's been awesome. I like this cinema jaw.
Nice.
I give you guys 4 jaws.
Great.
Oh,
sounds like this guy's going to be coming back.
Yeah, for sure.
We also want to thank our sponsors.
Yeah, thanks to the new 400,
and also thanks to MoviePass.
Now, thanks to our wonderful producer, Steve Reno Mrazek, best in the biz.
And so until next week, like us on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And keep on jawing about the movies.
See ya.